You're listening to Around Comics, episode 176. From the campus of the Savannah College of Art and Design in historic Savannah, Georgia, this is Around Comics, the comic book culture podcast. I'm Jeremy Mullins, and I'm joined today by my web comics class here at SCAD. Woo! I'm joined by my co-host, Jarrett Williams.
What's going on, people?
Mia Paluzzi.
I'm the Marvel girl of our group.
Rashad Doucet to the ladies.
Sadly, Doucet to my mom.
And the illustrious Kevin Burkhalter.
Burkhalter!
On every Monday episode like this one, we go over the week in comic book news and review our favorite books from the previous week in Top of the Stack. Joining us at the round table also is Nat Landry.
Go! Bloody
in my dictionary.
Tyler Nickum.
Hi.
And Jason Hornsby, fellow classmates.
Also known as James Hornsby.
Oh.
You don't know that. That's his actual name.
We call him Jason when we're
drunk. Do over.
Nope, we're going.
Let's keep going, man.
InStockTrades.com is offering this month's reading selection, the originals, to Around Comics listeners for an amazing 35% off the cover price. Get your copy today for only $11.69 for the soft cover or $16.22 for the hardcover. Check out the Eisner-winning graphic novel by Dave Gibbons.
Watch Moon.
InStockTrades.com offers a huge selection of collected editions you need. It's your source for trade paperbacks, deluxe hardcovers, essentials, showcases, archives, absolute editions, Omnibus.
The editions. Son of Galactus.
Omnibus.
And more.
Son of Galactus.
All at great discounted prices. And remember that all orders over $50 ship what?
Free! That's like a lot of things.
Later this week, the guys in Chicago will be talking about Sal selections in the month's club. Be on the lookout for that.
As you've probably figured out by now, Chris Sal, Tom Scotty, and the regular Chicago crew will be taking a short hiatus from the show production. But don't freak out! Okay. We, the graduate students of the Sequential Art Department at the Savannah College of Art and Design, have volunteered as fill-in artists to give you, the Around Comics listeners, something new on your podcast feed. A bunch of college kids.
Cut up,
while the guys enjoy their break. If you like the show today, let the Chicago crew know. Email them at chris@aroundcomics.com, or better yet, post a comment on their forum. We're recording today in this stately and very pink Norris Hall, located at... It's like a Hello Kitty building. Located at 5...
We like Hello Kitty.
Yes. Love Scan.
They just gave us a pretty pink building. At 548 East Broughton Street in Savannah, Georgia. For more information about the college and our various programs of study, please visit www.scad.edu.
Awesome. Now it's time for Wire to Wire comic book news. Wire comic book news!
Rashad Doucet.
Oh. Rashad, will you step up to the mic
and tell us
what's going on?
No problem. First off, recently just found out that Fox is suing Warner Brothers and halting the production of Watchmen. Pretty much what's going on is that...
Wait, they're stopping it totally?
It is stopped right now, as of today.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, well, I don't know. Zack Snyder, the guy who directed Sin City, is the behind it. Yeah. So, I mean, that guy's pretty cool. But what happened is some bureaucratic nonsense where back in the day, some guys wrote a version of Watchmen that was pitched to Fox. Fox owned some of the rights or something like that. And now they're saying that Warner Brothers hasn't paid them their share of the money for that long overdue, that dead project from years ago. So, yeah, Watchmen... might be on halt for a minute. I'm sure they'll solve it. They need the money.
The same thing's going on with the Lord of the Rings and the Hobbit. There's an article on Fark.com actually the other day about
Fark.com.
That's my website.
I want to clear that up.
Yeah, no, apparently Beeline didn't pay some trust the right amount of money. And it's halting production of The Hobbit right now.
That's nice.
What? What? Do you like Hobbits, Jay?
What?
Right now.
You know, they're cute.
Right? Hey, whoa.
They have big feet.
Oh, hey. You know Sam pulled it down.
He's a Sam and Frodo fan.
You seen Sam with all the kids in that movie. Also, what's also going on, I'm sure you guys have heard this, but this is, you know, for us Star Wars fans, and there's a new Clone Wars animated movie coming out. It's going to be 3D. That's kind of cool. And then it's going to spin off onto Cartoon Network.
It's like 3D animation?
3D animation, sir.
Okay.
Yeah.
I thought they got
Is it like 3D? Like 6D, like the Beowulf movie? Like where it was 3D animation plus the 3D giving us 6D? Like, is it like that?
No, not to the point where you want to throw up. Like, I mean, I'm sorry, Beowulf was a good movie. like cartoony style.
Okay, it's just like 3D animation.
It's like similar to the style that the other cartoons were done, the Clone Wars cartoons.
Right.
Except Anakin doesn't look so much like Hayden Christensen.
Yeah, no, he doesn't look so much like
him. And you know what? I really honestly want to know, how the hell does Anakin Skywalker have his own Padawan?
Because Josh Lucas says so, Mia.
This is between movies 2 and 3. What the hell is he doing with that little redskin chick? She's hot, but...
Is there another question after that?
Yeah.
Hot with a lightsaber?
Man, I don't support Padawan on Padawan.
Yeah.
Not unless Padme's included.
I mean, I know it's a progressive society, but you gotta draw a line somewhere. You know, before long, it'll be Padawan on Cat and...
That'll
be ugly.
That's kind of a big jump there.
Why are there always cats involved?
There are Jedi cats and going donkeys. On here. Gonna...
Anyway. Also,
I'm gonna
ignore all this dirtiness.
Please.
There's a new Iron Man book, the second Iron Man series coming out with Salvador LaRocca on the art. Yes.
Salvador LaRocca?
Salvador LaRocca of X-Men fame. Guy's been around for a while, guys. He's been done a lot of books. Currently, he's drawing, I think he did an X-Men issue not too long ago. Oh, he's drawing Spider-Man, Amazing Spider-Man right now. He's on it. And Matt Fraction is doing the writing. The guy who wrote Casanova and writes Iron Fist.
You guys read Casanova?
Casanova's a good book.
It is a good book.
I need to get the trade, man. I met Matt Fraction once. It's pretty cool.
No, man, you gotta, like, get the floppies, because it's got, like, all that extra bonus material on the back.
It's only
like
in the floppies?
Yeah, his process stuff, like, what he was thinking about and stuff, like, nice. It's only in the floppies, yeah.
Nice. Well, yeah, so him and LaRocca will be doing an Iron Man book, and come out, I guess, right around the time the movie will be out, so that should be interesting. On a slightly sad note, Steve Gerber, the creator of How the Duck and Omega Don Known, has passed away.
I'm just messing with you.
What a jerk!
Once you guys hear my top of the stack, you'll know why I said that.
Okay, right. Yeah. Well, you know, Howard the Duck guy, he's passed away. He's kind of sad.
And also, Stephen Peru, the colorist, who's 26 years old, he died.
Yeah,
last
and he's,
week too.
Man, he's doing a bang job.
How old was he? 26.
Yeah,
he's 26. Yeah, same age as me.
What did he die of?
What I heard rumored was a heart attack. I haven't actually gotten to go back and see if any of the articles confirmed that. But
that's terrible, young people dying.
Yeah. He was a really accomplished colorist as well.
Yeah.
His
he was doing.
Would we recognize some of his? Tell me some of the stuff.
Yeah, he was working on just recently. He was Teen Titans Year One with Oh man.
Get out of here.
He did that.
Wasn't he doing the Hercules?
Yeah, he was doing Hercules too. He's doing like a few Marvel and DC books right now.
Yeah. He had that really kind of like really pretty light.
Yeah, really pretty
look to it. Like the lighting. Every time you look to his pages, you're like, oh, that's pretty.
Did you see at the end of that that Titans Year One the issue that came out last week, the one with Wonder Girl when she shows up on the scene?
Yeah, that was a great.
Yeah,
and
then
all the face shots of the guys and like
nice.
That sequence from where Green Arrow is shooting after Speedy on. I mean, the colors through the whole thing were awesome, but just the
Paul
lighting
the bang of dabs,
from there on was awesome.
Yeah. Nice. And last, we have 2000 AD is expanding their downloadable content at clickwheel.net. They're now at first we're just doing original content and current things, but now they're offering everything from 2007 is available to download, and eventually it's going to spin off and they have their own 2000 AD website.
So check it out at clickwheel.net. Get some 2000 AD awesomeness over the season.
Man, did you guys ever read 2000 AD in like the 80s? Like,
man, everybody.
I mean, someone's going to argue with me, but I felt like the 90s were pretty bush, but like, man, as a kid, like, first of all, like, that band, that metal band, Anthrax, they used to wear Judge Dredd shirts all the time. And it was like, I was like, who's that comic guy? I don't know that comic guy. And then I looked into it, and man, I would jump through hoops to get that stuff mailed to me. But man, any British cartoonist that eventually just nailed it big over here was in that mag in the 80s. And it was just the level of artwork of 2008
and the
80s.
Too, the writers too. Mars.
Are they going to put the old ones on the website?
They're saying not yet. They want to do some original content and recent things. A lot of the stuff they said they don't technically own, like Judge Dredd. They don't. They want to have characters that the company solely owns, not sharing with creators. And so it's going to be a while before. I'm sure it's going to happen because obviously they have a lot of backlogs and archives that would love to put up there. Also, this came out this week. Freak Angels, Warren Ellis's webcomic. It's an awesome comic by Warren Ellis, the guy who, you know, created Authority and writes a crap load of books right now.
Wow, who's drawing it?
This guy named Paul. Oh man, I can't pronounce his last name. Puffington or something like that. He draws kind of like his style is similar to Josh Middleton. Yeah, it's freakangels.net or .com. Josh Middleton, he did the NYX series, and he's a real cool like illustrator.
That's
like,
cool.
Yeah, style. Yeah, it's really, and it's Freak Angels. It's really nice. Warren Ellis, good stuff.
What's that web address again?
Freakangels.net, I think is what it is. .net or .com.
Nice.
Yeah, and the first
whatever.
Basis. Well, and then the first like 6 pages are up right now. Just started recently, so I'm sure. Yeah, it'll be more. It'll be awesome.
Probably do a Google search.
Yeah, Freak Angels. That's easy to remember.
Freak Angels?
Save search. Freak Angels.
Yeah. Man, I don't want to know. Yeah, I started saying we better attack all the Warren Ellis. I don't want to know what comes up when I type in Freak Angels.
I don't want you to find out either. And also, Flash Garden. Flash Garden. New Flash Garden.
Oh, man.
Arden Entertainment is going to be putting out a new Flash Garden comic, and we should all be excited.
Yeah, why should we
be excited again? I don't know.
Are you over it, Flash?
You know what?
How dare you?
Fight right now.
Flash Garden. Let's go.
Flash Garden. I'm sorry.
Wait. New Flash Garden
TV show?
TV show.
That show doesn't count.
We'll say
that show doesn't count.
Yeah.
And by that doesn't count means you shouldn't watch it.
Fair enough. Damn. All right, you got me.
Yep.
Okay, this portion of Around Comics is brought to you by Bizarre New World. The critically acclaimed series returns in a new prestige one-shot. After the first miniseries, the cat is out of the bag. Man, crazy. The worldwide population suddenly gains the ability to fly. A desperate phone call from his son forces Paul Crutcher to run the gauntlet of insanity to get to Arizona. But with
By the time we get to Arizona!
but with chaos ripping across the planet and everyone airborne, the journey through California won't be easy.
It's never easy.
Like on Cloverfield.
If we were all in Cloverfield, none of us would have survived.
No.
I would have done it.
I know.
Yeah.
No, actually,
me and Nat and Jared would have survived.
Right. No, all of us actually would have survived, because when they were like, oh, let's go to the Brooklyn Bridge, we'd have been like, yeah, screw that, we're going to town.
So find out why. Thank you, guys. Find out why ain'titcoolnews.com called Bizarre New World. One of the best new comics of 2007. Pre-order your copy of
Bizarre New World.
Bizarre New World.
Population Explosion. From the February issue of previews. And to purchase the original 3-issue miniseries, head to your local comic shop or visit us, that's us, I guess, at www.apecomics.com.
Check it out.
You know what? I want to thank Rashawn. Thank you very much for all your top of the stack action. And I also want to give a shout out to someone behind the scenes. Miss Andrea Bell has worked very hard.
Has worked very, very hard.
She's serving as our producer today. And
man.
She
so freaking hot. So smoking.
She had all of literally 4 days to learn the software and the equipment hookup, and we really appreciate her hustling and getting that done.
Hell yeah.
Now it's time for Top of the Stack.
And this week, Top of the Stack is sponsored by Lunar Boy. By yours truly, me, Jared Williams. Now, Lunar Boy is the web's coolest, hippest, so fresh and so clean kid with an afro. Catch out his weekly adventures, graphic novels, and more at www.lunarboyland.com, celebrating one full year of Lunar Boy mischief. So,
Jared, Mr. Lunar Boy,
yeah.
Why don't you kick us off with your Top of the Stack?
Oh,
what are you reading this week, man? What was number one on your hit parade?
Oh, dude.
What was number one on your hit parade?
Scott Pilgrim, Volume 4.
Volume 4?
Ooh!
Tell us about it, sir.
I'll say first, I was like really excited because I ordered it off of like Amazon, and it was like taking a crap load of time to get to me.
Oh,
but man, like, I have a lot of... It was worth the wait, man. Like, first of all, it's like maybe like 250 or so pages. The first 8 pages are in color, and like, you know, this series has kind of got like a lot of hype behind it since like Volume 1, just for kind of being sort of fresh. I think, especially in the indie scene, of kind of combining like the best of like indie and manga all in one, you know?
Definitely.
And Volume 4, like...
And video games.
And, it just references so much. And like, I think what I liked most about Volume 4, like for those of you who haven't read Scott Pilgrim, I'm kind of assuming a lot of people have.
Yeah,
I mean, it's pretty much about this guy, Scott Pilgrim, who's like, you know...
His girlfriend.
Ramona Flowers. Pretty much, in order to kind of hook up with this girl that he really wants, he has to, like, beat her 7 ex-boyfriends.
Her evil ex-boyfriends.
Evil. Just beat her boyfriend.
Then we learned that one of them was not necessarily a boy.
Dude,
this time.
That was, like, the big
gimmick
with Volume 4. There was some, like, you know, HLA, some hot lesbian action in this movie, you know, but...
Man.
You know that, you're in a lesbian?
I'm into all kinds of things.
Nice!
Jared, the question is, who isn't into lesbians?
Yeah, good, great question. But
well,
yeah.
There's one person.
Tyler!
Anyway, man.
Yeah, like, what I like about it, it continues what was kind of, like, I think what's good about the first books in the series, really good use of like spotted blacks throughout his work. He really pushed his backgrounds, I thought, in this volume as well. And where's
like stepped it up enough?
Yeah, man. Yeah. Kevin, you mentioned like his handwork.
Yeah, man. Like there's definite like progression in like.
It starts out cleaner.
Yeah,
fine tuned.
But like those first volumes, I was reading them. Like I got them all at once.
Oh, cool.
And, at SPX. And,
you got like all three of them?
Yeah, all three of them. And I read through all three of them, and I was like, man, you know. I loved the comic. Thought it was great. But I was like, these hands are killing me. They're like, I don't know, like, mushed up, like, spaghetti balls or something. I don't know what they are. But, like, this one, I would say, like, wow. Like, I was looking at the hands. Because that's the first thing. I was like, you know what? Let's see how the hands are coming along in this one. And you know what?
Yeah.
Well done.
I agree.
Well done.
And, I know
Rashad's looking at your hands.
Yeah.
He's into all kind of things.
They're above the table.
You got pretty hands, boy. Randy.
Getting hot in here.
It's getting hot in here.
Dude. So, yeah, like, where's the two?
Poor
like,
Jared.
Whereas, like, the past books have kind of been more focused on, like, Scott Pilgrim and his band and the music, like, this one's been, like, more about, like, what's going on inside of Scott Pilgrim's head a little bit more, like, you know.
Well, he grows up a little bit, too.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, he gets a job, man.
Yeah.
Big deal for him, sleeping on someone's...
So there's some character change.
Yeah, man. And I mean...
Four.
And we finally get to see Scott sleeping with his roommate.
His gay roommate.
Yeah.
Wallace.
Well, not sleeping together, everybody, but sleeping in... They share a bed.
Because they're poor.
Totally
straight.
Scott Pilgrim's totally straight.
And Wallace is not.
No homo.
We're not insinuating anything. I'm just saying. We finally...
No. Just to clarify.
I would totally lay in the bed with you, Kevin.
You know what? Take that as a compliment.
There you go.
Art schools. Very little.
Gotta be a very secure man to lay down next to another man in bed.
But yeah, and I must say too, the packaging for this book.
Yes.
Yeah.
The back cover.
with the pixel art.
Yeah, the 8-bit. Oh, my God.
The 8 pages of color on the interior.
Well, the color is cool. I wish you would do, like, a mini, like, in color. That would be nice.
The color's smooth,
too.
The
color's really nice.
Yeah, after seeing, like, the first couple pages, you really want to see, like, a whole Scott Pilgrim book, like,
in color. Yeah, you want to collect a mini. Like, just a mini. Because I assume, printing the whole thing in color would be expensive.
And there's a black girl.
Yes.
Oh my gosh.
Dude. Represent.
There's finally a sister in Canada.
I mean, it's really a monumental moment, like in the Star Wars when Empire Strikes Back, Lando Calrissian, the first
Space
black
film.
Man,
Space
the first film. Black man in a galaxy far, far away.
Dude. Well, what do we have here?
So that's
It
always comes back to Star Wars.
So that's my pick this week. Yeah. Top of the stack, Scott Pilgrim by your four. There you go.
Yeah, check it out, people.
Yeah, tell them about in the back, that little warning thing. That thing was hilarious.
Yeah, like kind of like an ode to manga telling you how to read the book.
Yeah, if you've ever picked up a manga novel, they always have this like, stop, read it backwards.
Yeah. And it's like, you can read, it tells you, it's like, you can read this book any way you want. It's like, you can start in the middle if you want to. I thought it was awesome.
Yeah, it's funny.
Yeah.
All right.
It's pretty good. Thank you, Jarrett.
No problem.
Rashawn, why don't you go next, my friend?
Is it me?
Rashawn.
It's you. All right.
Do say to the lady.
Anyway, so this week, I got Uncanny X-Men number 495. It's the first part of the Divided We Stand storyline, and so like it's just a focus on Scott and Emma. They take a little vacation in the Savage Land, and I like this because, one, it's downtime, and normally when Claremont used to write this book, we get the downtime and they play baseball or whatever, but this
is... That who's writing it, Claremont?
No, Ed Brubaker is writing this.
Oh, okay.
It's a beautiful art by Mike Choi, just amazing artwork. If you remember when we used to work on Witchblade back in the day, you can see how long, you know, he's come a long way. He wasn't bad then, but he's really good now. But, so it focuses on Scott and Emma's relationship, giving them a little breathing room.
Whore.
Oh, I'm sorry. There's a Jean Grey fan in the house. There's a Jean Grey fan. Look, Cyclops has developed greatly. The writers seem to be freer when she's not attached to his old high school.
That has nothing to do with her being a slut.
Oh.
But Emma's fine, man.
She's fine as hell.
Man, Emma will take... Emma, dude.
Emma will work your ass over.
I'm sorry, man. That's the type of girl. She gets in your head, literally. That's scary as hell.
Well,
she
does. So did the other one.
Yeah, but Gene had like the rules, like, I won't go in your mind unless you ask me. Emma's like, I'll go in your mind even if you don't
anytime
ask me.
Anytime I want.
I look like Gene. I'll look like Gene. Now, keep in mind, the comics, they got together because she was acting like Gene in Scott's dreams. Right. He was messing with her, telepathically cheating on his wife. Only in comics, folks.
That was kind of hot.
Only in comics, you telepathically cheat on your wife. Anyway, not talking about Cyclops. Anyway, he's developed greatly. This is coming out of the end of the Masai Complex storyline. If you guys haven't read that, you should pick up the trades, pick up the back
issues.
You
know, along this like whole like Emma line, like Emma Scott line, like I have to say that like since she's been introduced, I mean, finally we have some character development.
Oh yeah,
like, with Cyclops,
yeah.
Like,
amazing. Like,
you know,
I'm just gonna put this out there. I never liked Cyclops until he got with Emma, because I was like, he's so boring. Jesus, just get him off the
book. And they work, but I guess he's like the straight man to her wildness. Yeah, so it kind of like it works out. Like she gets in his head, she gets him to loosen
up. Like he's her moral compass. She's trying really hard to be good.
Yeah,
he seems like an actual person now instead of being that guy that is Wolverine.
My favorite scene in this whole comic is there's a scene where he's there in the Savage Land, you guys taking a vacation. Got these two dinosaurs fighting.
Yeah, that was tight.
Here's the cool part. Like, she was talking to Shauna the She-Devil because it's Savage Land, so Kazar is going to be there. So she's talking to Shauna, and she's telling Shauna how it's awesome. She's looking inside his head as he's watching this dinosaur fight, and while everybody's cheering, he's tactically breaking the fight apart, seeing how he could win, which shows how Cyclops is. The man is always thinking about tactics because he's responsible for a lot of people working together. So I thought it was a great scene. She said that's what she loves about him, because she's like, this man, his head is amazing.
And it goes a step farther, too, because Shauna makes some comment about, it's a pity you'll never be able to look him in the eye. And she's like, I can turn into Diamond. I can look him in the eye anytime I want to. She's like, I'm a step above Jean Grey.
And it's great. It's just great stuff like that he's been doing with Emma that works, because it just seems like the relationship, which is, I know this is fiction, it seems more real, more like healthy, whereas in Scott and Jean, it just seemed like they were supposed to be together. It's like that high school girlfriend that you won't break up with and whatever.
But they will.
Because Cyclops has always been a buster. I mean, you know what I'm saying? Even in like the X-Men, Capcom X-Men games, whatever, he's a buster. But like, he's starting to develop now, you know,
and he's definitely the leader of the X-Men now.
For those of us who are of the Caucasian persuasion, what is a buster?
A bust is a straight up punk. Straight up punk.
Oh, I know what a punk is.
Footnote brought to you.
Straight up.
Cultural footnote brought to you by InStockTrades.com. All right, on that note, Burkhalter, what you reading, man? Tell us what you're reading, buddy. Man.
All right, well, I picked, well, something a little different, you know. Anybody who knows me knows.
We know you.
Yeah.
I know you.
We know you. My deal is, well.
Put you over, turn you sideways. Oh, hey.
Let the man speak about his funny book. Let the man speak about his funny book.
Thank you. Thank you. Come on. Come on.
Tell us what you're reading. Tell us what you're reading.
So, today I picked Will Eisner's A Life in Pictures. And it's this new, really nice, hardbound collection of Will Eisner's autobiographical stories. And, you know,
that makes sense because, like, I'm gonna do a shameless plug for you, Kevin. Like, if you don't know, Kevin does online journal comics, autobiographical. You should check him out. Where should we work? Where can we find that, Kevin?
Well, right now I'm working on my website in you know who's class, but
that would be me.
Yeah. In the meantime, you can go to my live journal account, which is cartoonist. At live journal or dot live journal
dot
com.
Spell it, you gotta spell it, dude.
And it's K-A-R 2.
The digit two.
N-I-S-T. And I'm sorry for the confusion, but I was in high school when I thought of that, and I was like, I am the man! That's awesome!
You are a cartoonist!
I'm a cartoonist!
And if you go to the Around Comics forum, there's a sticky note for of all my webcomic recommendations, and of course, I'm going to pimp my own kids, so... you can find a link to his live journal there, so just go to aroundcomics.com, go to the forum, look for our sticky note on webcomics, and look for his goodness, but tell us more about Will Eisner.
Yeah, well, yeah, so... this book has five separate stories inside of it, and they talk about different periods in Will Eisner's life. And
which one was the coolest?
They were all cool, but I think the neatest one was called The Dreamer. And it's about Will Eisner's early years in the industry during the 1930s. And he was struggling to start his career as a cartoonist. And so he buddied up with a friend and they started their own studio. And he took on like several different pseudonyms to like get more work. Like,
cool, yeah.
Yeah, you know.
A lot of guys did that back then, yeah.
And so... Yeah. He finally found that he was getting so much work that he had to hire on, like, a studio, like, other creators. And so he got the studio together. And what's really cool about it is there were people like Jack Kirby in the studio. You
get
know?
Out of here, really?
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah. And wow. Bob Kane, yep. You know? Man,
get out of here.
Invented Batman, yeah. Man. So. Yeah, and there were like older cartoonists on their way out of the industry in the studio, and there were just new ones, and it was so incredible because there's little anecdotes about Jack Kirby, and there's a little anecdote about Bob Kane, and the thing that's really cool about it is, in the story, he changes their name, he gives them a fake name, but at the end of the story, there's a little section that tells who everybody is. And there are a bunch.
So you're not distracted by the star power, exactly. While you're reading the story.
Exactly.
Oh, that's tight.
Yeah.
Oh, that's tight.
Yeah, like, but the Jack Kirby story in there was so, like, crazy. I was like, wait, who the hell is that? Like, that's yeah, that's crazy. Yeah. So I flipped to the back because I knew that section. I was like, oh, my God, that's Jack Kirby. Like, that's the man. He's just a small little guy. Oh, man. He draws Jack Kirby awesome.
And
like,
what's this compilation called?
A Life in Pictures.
Life in Pictures.
Yeah.
Fantagraphics, is that it?
Who put it out?
It could look fine.
W.W. Norton.
Yep.
Norton. Books. Norton, okay. Yeah, and this is solid. It's amazing. And then there's a longer story that takes up most of the book. And there's, and it's about Will Eisner's family and like his whole childhood, but it's told through a series of flashbacks as he's on the train to boot camp, getting ready to go into World War II. And it was after he was drafted, and it's mind blowing. It's the main reason to pick up this book.
Hey, nice.
Yeah,
man.
It is.
I don't get this.
Way to bring up Will Eisner. Yeah,
let me see this real quick.
Yeah, man.
Kevin's the wind.
Let me look
at this. Yeah, you bring up Will Eisner.
Well, that's Trump card. It's not me. I figured I just start off because, you know, my next Top of the Stacks are going to be hopefully a little more obscure and, you know, mini comic oriented, indie ground, underground, you know.
But you got to pay respect.
Yeah, exactly. You know,
I'm looking through this right now, and you're right. This is gorgeous.
I read this. I mean, how could I not talk about this?
No, man.
I mean, it's,
yeah, man.
It's just incredible. So I'm in love with this book right now. I'm.
All right,
man. Well, thank you very much. So, Mia, what are you reading?
Oh man, so much. I'm gonna give my mad props this week to Next Wave Agents of Hate. Kick your face. As a lot of you guys know, I just recently got back into getting the monthly floppy issues.
Thanks to who?
Thanks to Rashad. Totally thanks to Rashad. No, completely thanks to Rashad. Mostly because my boyfriend and I just consume so many comics, and we consume them so fast, it's just more economic for us to get the trades. Plus, I'm impatient, so I can't stand waiting. But it's true. It's totally true. I need like 5 issues at once.
How
but
do say to the lady.
It's just not enough for me. But, no, man, like when
you
we
know
do...
the Savannah crew can bring something that the Chicago crew can't, and that
ladies.
Is a female.
I didn't say it.
And Scott Young's like little guitar playing girlfriend doesn't count. Like, oh, she doesn't count.
Oh,
that don't count.
We're arguing sweater puppies now.
No, we're not. Continue me. I'm sorry to interrupt.
You know, no. I got to give props to Next Wave because Rashad introduced me to the first. He introduced me to Next Wave when the first trade came out, and I hadn't read like a mainstream book in a long time because I got really into the indie books. And I strayed away from, like, reading anything DC Marvel. Not because I don't like them. I just wasn't as interested. And Rashad's been trying to get me to read Superman and all this other stuff. And he goes, Next Wave. You gotta read Next
Finally
Wave.
Finally worked.
Yeah, he's like, this is your book, Mia. So I picked it up.
Is he like,
and,
you're a pusher, man?
Yeah, he is. He's like my pusher. I laughed my ass off when I read the book. And, like, I'm a big Warren Ellis fan anyway. But Stuart Immonen's work on this just blew me away. Like, I'd never seen him draw anything like this before.
Switched his style up for that.
Yeah, he did. And I totally love this new style. It's great. So,
it's just off the wall, I think, is what you would want.
It's really, it's off the wall, but it's got this really nice graphic feel to it. And, it just tells the story so well. But, anyhow, getting to the second volume. If you haven't read Next Wave, Agents of Hate, the first volume, it's basically a group of really obscure Marvel superheroes, with the addition of the Captain. And they get hooked up with Dirk Anger, who's the commander of Hate. And they find out that this group that they're hooked up with is actually sponsored by this terrorist organization, and they're not having any of it, so they break off from them. And in the second volume, it's really them, finishing everything off and destroying the big bad, you know? But, they
for
have
those
this...
who don't know, we got these songs about the cast. We got Elsa Bloodstone. Obscure as Dirt. She pretty much...
Well, yeah, where is she from? She's, like, the only one I didn't really
she's
know.
She's, like, an old immortal. Female that horror comics from a while, back in the day, her dad...
Like, Tomb of Dracula?
She's, like, Buffy, before there was a Buffy. Before there was a Buffy.
Her whole family, they have the Bloodstone, and that's what gives them, like, near immortality, and they're monster hunters.
Yeah,
she's, so like she's proto-Buffy.
Yeah, long before. Not saying just... We didn't have anything to do
and then
that.
There's Monica.
Well, she was Captain Marvel. Then she was full-time. And
Captain Marvel, man.
Yeah, well, she's like...
She was awesome as Captain Marvel.
Yeah,
like,
but then Captain
which
Marvel
she,
came
which
back.
Which she tells us constantly in this comic. Let me tell you.
She reminds us that she was Captain
She was
Marvel.
On the Avengers, you guys. That's the joke.
Yeah, yeah.
She was
and
on
then,
the Avengers.
And then there's Aaron Stack, otherwise known as...
Machine Man.
And let me tell you... The whole reason I read this comic is for
Machine Man
and Dirk Anger, because...
Dirk Anger is Nick Fury, you guys, but they couldn't use Nick Fury.
So they have Dirk Anger instead. But the whole time I'm sitting there reading Aaron Stagg stuff, like, it's actually become a saying in our house where we're coloring. We'll get to, like, those midnight sessions, and we're like, oh, my robot brain needs beer. So it's totally true. But, and then there's a my in on this book, I swear, like, when I was reading it the first time, Tabby from she, the X-Men.
Yeah.
When I...
She used to be Boom Boom.
When I was in high school... Oh, dude. I was... Oh, no, seriously. I got the greatest... I got the greatest story about this. When I was in high school, I was, like, you know, one of those girls that, like, read comics on the sly and didn't let anybody know because they weren't popular at the time. I'm thinking, oh, I'm going to get beat up in the halls. Anyhow, this guy I knew in my math class...
What high school do you go to where girls get beat up?
Detroit City. School of Hard Knocks.
You know, I was already like a geek, but you know, none of that. No, like I sat down next to this kid in my high school, and he was completely into the X-Men, and I was like, oh, that's awesome. You know, I read Batman, and he's like, oh no, you got to read Uncanny X-Men, and it was when Joe Mad was doing it, and it was like one of the first issues he handed over to me was like it was Cyclops versus Psylocke versus Sabretooth, Nuff said, and it had Tabby in it, and I'm looking at her, and you know, I'm like, oh, she's Boom Boom at the time. I was like, oh, that's kind of a cool power, whatever. And then I got her backstory, and I was like, she's like so underused. You could do something totally funny with her. And I remember thinking that at the time, and then when she showed up here, and she's like, you know, they're like, oh, yeah, Tabby's had, like, more secret identities than anyone, and she's like, yeah, they all sucked. But I thought that in high school, too. But no, this book is amazing. Just for the way that it kind of, like, I want to say reinvents the superhero genre, because everybody always says that kind of stuff.
Kind of like Invincible a little bit.
And then yeah, it just, it takes you in a different direction with it, and it's just fun. The whole book is fun. And that's what, like, really got me into comics in the first place was fun, you know, fun reads. So,
what I'm reading, in case anyone wants to know, my top of the stack is Omega the Unknown, issue 5 of 10. This is written by Jonathan Lethem. If you guys don't know who Jonathan Lethem is, he's like one of these hotshot American young writers that, you know, the literary world is just like, oh, he's like, he kind of lump him in with like Michael Chabon, you know, stuff like that. Like, he's written, if you haven't checked it out, there's a book, Fortress of Solitude, which is really cool. And it's, you know, it's about this one white kid coming up in Harlem, and that sounds cliche and trite, but it's more than that. It's a book about the emergence of vernacular art, especially like punk and hip hop and funk and comics and graffiti. And he's just a hell of a writer. And in that book, the main character in Fortress of Solitude just loves this comic, Omega the Unknown. And it was a series published by Marvel way back in the early 70s. And then after that book, Marvel apparently contacted Lethem and said, hey, you want to do a revamp of it? And he's like, hells yeah. And there's a guy, Farrell Dalrymple. I don't know if I'm pronouncing his name right. But I love this comic for a lot of reasons. Primarily for the color palette. There are just some McNasty colors in this.
McNasty.
But together...
That purple's harsh to look
at. I mean, that magenta is really rough to look at. But like, oh my gosh. I mean, it just makes... Oh, in combination, they're really, really good. But on the surface, it's about this kid who's he's been homeschooled and stuff, and his folks are driving him to the city to where he's going to start going to school, and there's a car accident, and it turns out that they get all jacked up, and they end up being like robots and something, and then just all this weird stuff ensues, and he finally goes to the city, and he goes to an inner city school having a tough time, there's a character called the Minx, and he's like, if you took Batman and just made him a douche, that's what he is. The Minx.
Batman's not a douche.
leave Batman alone.
No.
I say that lovingly. Rashad's like, all right, baby.
But the Minx is just this douchey guy. He's a superhero that drives around in this Minx mobile, but it looks like an ice cream truck. And everybody loves him and kisses his butt. And he arrives on the scene. They're like, oh, the Minx is here. Great. And,
anybody who brings ice cream to a super fight?
Yeah.
Hands down.
And he's got, like, just a ton of sidekicks. And he's just a total douche. But I love that character. Great. I love reading him week to week. And So basically, this kid who's now drifting the world has these weird Omega symbols on his hands, and they emit rays whenever he's in trouble and stuff. And then there's this weirdo in a blue jumpsuit that's kind of shadowing him, and you don't really know their relationship yet, but you do know that the dude in the blue jumper must eat live, well, not live, but he must eat, like, birds only, like eagles and turkeys, and he catches them, and he can't just go to the KFC like everybody else. He has to catch them in the wild, and then physically kill them himself, and then cook them himself. And so we know that there are robot parents, there's a douchey Batman wannabe named the Minx, we got a guy in a blue jumpsuit that has to eat eagles, whether they're endangered or not. And that's pretty much, you know, all I should have to tell you in order for you to go check it out. So Nate, man, what are you reading?
Well.
Nat, sorry, not Nate. Man.
It's all good. What I'm reading a lot of stuff, but I definitely want to plug in Berserk, the manga Berserk, put out by Dark Horse. And you definitely have to give Dark Horse props on bringing this book over and a lot of the titles, and they, you know, they just keep it real. They didn't edit it. They just kept everything just as it was as it came from Japan. And Berserk's been going on since like the late 80s, once the 88, 89.
Yeah, Berserk's a long series.
Yes, it's really long. And like, it starts off with Guts. He's like the main character, the black
sword. Hey, Nat, real quick before, I'm sorry to interrupt you, but like, dude, your voice is pimp, man. Can you just say this? Chocolate rain. Can you sing that for me?
I sure can. Chocolate rain.
Awesome. Continue. I'm sorry, I had to do it.
Sure, for sure. But it's like basically the best like sword and sorcery comic that I've ever even read.
Ever.
Wow. It's real, you know, the imagery in it, and like it's so crazy. It's pretty violent. It's not for the faint-hearted, and a lot of crazy shit just happens.
There's some nudity in there too.
Yeah,
some nudity.
Yeah, there's some nudity. There's violence, man. There's demons, and like this is volume 21 recently came out, and it's like Griffin, one of the really like the main protagonist. He returns in like his human form, and Guts is battling
his
like
naked human.
Yeah,
form.
It's naked. You know, yeah, it's. As Mia pointed out, it was pretty gay how he came back. With, like, you know, the feathers and shit, and, you know, and everybody was enthralled. But, like.
Enthralled!
They were, man. Look at this. I'm going to tell you what. You know, on, like, yeah, they were. When he came back, I'm going to show it to you. You know, it's like, yeah. I'm going to read it to you. It's like, yeah.
He's a pretty guy.
At that moment, all who were there forgot to breathe. And we're enthralled.
Dude.
Oh.
Wow.
Even Guts, like his face on this panel over here is like, hot damn, look at that.
Yeah. Guts only has one eye, you guys. So
yeah, and it's like, I can tell you what, it's like I could read like a volume of Berserk, you know, I might read it once or twice, but there's one volume, like 12 or 13, that I've only read once because it was just like totally crazy, so intense. And if you've seen the cartoon, it ends on like OVA 12, I believe, and that's like whenever they have the eclipse. But that volume, 12 and 13, are like really like one of the most intense, and there's pretty disturbing shit that happens during the eclipse, and it changes the story a lot. But I highly, you know, if you're not squeamish, it's not for the faint of heart. But if you like sword and sorcery, great artwork. I know this guy has assistants and like, but like, man, it's like the epic. The battles are epic.
The monsters are epic too.
Yeah, the monsters, the demons. I mean, just like the whole thing is. Yeah,
if you guys think it's like, it's not like, you know, manga like Pokemon or things right. Like the big eyes. This is like, you know, fantasy style artist. For guys who's not a hardcore in the manga, you should check this one out simply because.
Yeah, even if you're a Capes and Cow kind of guy.
Yeah, it's something you guys would check out.
There's like mad cross hatching. Like even the backgrounds are amazing.
Yeah, it's totally. And like, and even whenever he goes and like, whenever he shows like Guts going off into like just a berserker rage. He gets that brush. And then there's like scenes like this with just this weird, just like, you know, just thin lines and shit. I mean, it's really good stuff. And I keep up with it even online too. But I definitely, you know, go out and buy the volumes when they come out. I do support the things that I like.
that I, you know, I go out and buy it, and I have all 21 volumes so far. I plan on getting the rest, but I do keep up with the newer ones. Yeah. So
there's nothing wrong with that, Jared.
Yeah. What are you, what are you doing?
Just kidding.
As a man who doesn't read much manga, what should I get?
If you're into this kind of stuff,
I mean, like I said, you know,
if you're into badass dudes with big swords and kills monsters, then yes.
Yeah, if you're going to read Scott Pilgrim, you can read Berserk.
As a guy that's not into manga, there's something out there that you probably like. Like, it's not all, like, Desu girls and...
Yeah.
Yeah, so it's not the big eyes or cute things. It's not even drawing that kind of style.
Honestly, I do want to give a big shout-out to Dark Horse because, like, you know, they're still putting out books.
Dude, they're putting out Astro Boy, too. And, I mean,
they
stay pretty true to, like...
Yeah. And I've been following, you know, I'm an old school cat, and I've been following Viz when they were first putting out, like, Gray, Digital Target, My the Psychic Girl, and they were putting out some really good titles, Battle Angel Alita. But, you know, like I said, I love Naruto. I love all that stuff. You know, don't get me, I'm cracked out on Naruto. I mean,
reading it before the show.
You know, but
voices.
Like, Viz needs to step on up. They need to start putting back out some of the heavier titles. They need Battle Angel Alita Last Order. Come on. Vagabond, one of the best samurai mangas that's out there, and then there's only one damn book a year, and they used to put that out like almost every other month. I mean, you know, come on. I like Shonen Jump. I like all the cool, you know, stuff. Man,
you need some variety.
We need some variety, Viz. Yeah. You know, y'all got to get on the ball, man. You know what I'm saying? We need more Vagabond. We need some more Battle Angel. Come on. Let's get with it. You know what I'm saying? I got cash in my pocket. I'm ready to spend.
I think we need to bring out more of the seinen series over here, which is like the next step up from the shonen stuff. Like Naruto's for the younger crowd, and then it goes up and it's like for the older guys.
For those of us of the cape and cowl persuasion, what is shonen?
Shonen comics are boys comics, which would be like your Naruto, your Bleach. They're comics that are specifically made with a male audience in mind.
Yeah, or your kids are reading. Right
but it's mostly See, it's mostly to, for yeah. a younger it's mostly for younger,
younger
boys.
Boys.
Like under, okay, cool. I think it's under 18.
Yeah,
is under 18. Yeah.
And then the next step up from that is more like seinen, and that's like your Berserk. I know everybody here is sick of hearing me like fawn over this series. There's a series called Dolls by Naked Ape, and it's not the series that Tokyo Pop is putting out by a very similar name.
Yeah,
but actually about like a future version of Tokyo where they're so against crime that they actually started sentencing criminals before they're even caught, and they have this special execution squad that has like 42 different squads, and the story really follows this one guy who gets onto squad number one, and it's basically about how they're surviving in a world who hates them even though they're keeping this crime off the street. And the series
kind
of
like the X-Men.
It's sort of, except that these guys go around and, like, if you have a murderer loose on the street, they don't have to bring him into justice. They
just take him out.
If he's been sentenced already without him ever being there, they just take him out. So Sweet. There's some really bloody scenes in that comic, but it's so intense and the story's great.
Yeah.
And cool. It's definitely not like your, I always call them Desu girls, but it's really not like Magical Girl. And there's nothing wrong with Magical Girl, but for the people that are like more cape and cowl, you just want to look for the stuff that's older audience.
Dark Horse, you know, I mean, check out Berserk, check out MPD Psycho.
Oh, MPD Psycho, so good.
Blade of the Immortal. I mean, you know what I'm saying? It's like, you know, Blade of the Immortal, you know, it's now going to be in trade paperback form. They're going to put it in trades. And I'm really going to miss it, you know, because I've got every issue of the monthlies. And it's really kind of hard right now because I go to the comic book shops and try to find some stuff to buy that I usually, you know, a lot of stuff that I used to buy that was monthly, and now they're, you know, going to put it in trade paperbacks, and it's taking a long time, but I'm going to be a little bit patient, stuff like that. But that's just my thing. You know, check it out.
So, hey, real quick, two more people have been sitting patiently on our panel today. Students who, you know, I'm forgetting their names, but first of all, Mr. Hornsby, will you step up? What do you read, man? Come here. Tell us what you're reading, man.
Lately, I don't know if I'd say it's my top of the stack or whatever, but lately I've been going back and reading the old Age of Apocalypse trade paperback.
Oh, man.
So, I guess after reading Ultimates 3, Ultimates Volume 3, Joe Mad, I mean, so you will about that, but really gave me a hankering back for the old 90s comics, and so I'm kind of going back to check that out.
Yeah, man.
Cool. Hey, Tyler, what are you, Tyler Nickum, also on the periphery of our panel. What are you reading, buddy? Get closer to the mic.
I just actually finished this little graphic novel written back in the early 90s by Neil Gaiman and Dave McKean. It's called Violent Cases. It's actually a pretty interesting book about an author trying to find out some information from his father. But what's really fascinating and awesome about this book is the artwork. I mean, you just look at the pencil mark making. It's very expressive, and the mixed media, the paint wash, and there's just certain parts of it where very cartoony, and then there's very realistic, and then there's just, it's all over the place, and you don't find yourself bored at all at any moment when you're reading it. Even though you might find yourself getting lost or confused about the story, but if you really just look at it, you'll find
it's visual candy.
Cool. It is visual candy.
Definitely.
Well, yeah. thank you, Tyler.
I highly recommend him picking it up.
It's thanks, another dude. One of those really large format ones
yeah.
from the two of them. Like Mr. Punch, those two are great.
Well, that concludes Top of the Stack. I think we got some listener email already. We got some people listening in, some other students listening in over in our computer lab in 204. Burkhalter, what have they sent us over here?
Well, let's see. First one, we got, hey, Around Comics, what's going on? Are you guys in Chicago or Savannah? I'm so confused. Steve.
Hey, Steve!
Hi, Steve!
Hey, Steve, for years, man.
We were in Savannah.
Actually, down hall from you.
what else we got there, Burkhalter?
Okay, dear Around Comics, first off, this isn't the letter, okay? This is me, Kevin, speaking here. I feel a little awkward reading this one.
Want me to read it?
Good. No, I think Kevin's
what's wrong with this right. email, man?
Well, all right. You'll just hear this, and then I'm sorry I said anything. All right. Last weekend, I saw Jarrett, Rashad, and Nat out on the dance floor shaking those fine black bodies.
Are you shitting me?
I'm just curious, are any of them single? And if so, do they have phone numbers?
Yes.
Tiny
yes.
dancers.
I wouldn't give those phone numbers. No.
But yes, you can find Rashad.
They are
77-93-11.
We can definitely say two of them are single, and yes, they do have phone numbers.
All right. Yeah. Thus concludes.
You have to be diplomatic about these things.
thus concludes the hooking portion of the project.
Don't give me trouble.
Since our last email, Cinder wanted desperately to become friends with...
Well, they should join our Friends of the Program. Go to www.aroundcomics.com where you can download and print out our LCS challenge flyer. After that, ask your comic shop manager or owner if they'll display it in their store. And if they do, send us an email and we'll mention you in the store on the show, as well as post it on our site. So become a friend of the program today. Woo!
And you can also go to iTunes and leave us a review. Go to the podcast section of iTunes and leave us a review. Christopher Niesman loves these. And if you left a review already, go make a new screen name and leave another one saying how awesome the Savannah crew is. And thank you if you do that. I love you from Rashad.
No. Do say to the lady.
Yep.
And lastly, this episode is once again brought to you by InStockTrades.com. They're offering this month's reading selection, the originals to Around Comic listeners, for an amazing 35% off the cover price.
Wow. God damn.
So go get your copy today for $11.69 for the soft cover or $16.22 for the hard cover.
Nothing soft about me.
Oh, that was so inappropriate.
How could you say that during such an important message?
I'm in love, Dave.
30% off. You guys, seriously.
Check out the graphic novel, the award-winning graphic novel by Dave Gibbons.
Watchmen.
In Stock Trades offers a huge selection of the collected editions you need. This is your source for trade paperbacks, deluxe hardcovers, essentials, showcases, archives, absolute editions, omnibus editions.
Son of Galactus, omnibus.
And more, all at great discounted prices. And remember that all orders over $50 or what?
Give us free. Yeah, that's they ship free. You know,
they
they're
be free, though,
all orders over $50 ship free. They're not free. And neither are you guys, because there's something else important that Kevin needs to tell us about.
Oh, right, me. We are proud to help support the Hero Initiative. Hero creates a financial safety net for yesterday's creators who need emergency medical aid, financial support for essentials of life, and an avenue back into paying work. This is a chance for all of us to give back something to the people who have given us so much enjoyment. For more information, visit www.heroinitiative.org or call 310-909-7809.
And if you're really into us, please check out what's going on here in SCAD's Sequential Art Department by visiting our blog. It's sequelab.com. That's SEQALAB.com. It's a sequential art testing ground for the SCAD students, faculty, and alumni. Find department news, information on upcoming events, give feedback on works in progress, and learn more about the department visits and guest artist appearances. Log on today. Go to www.seqalab.com.
I'd like to remind everybody to join us on Thursday. We'll be talking to creator Cameron Stewart of Catwoman fame and The Other Side by Jason Aaron. I'd like to thank everyone for joining us there. I'd like to thank all my grad students. High fives. All right. High fives.
Yeah.
And I'd like to thank the Savannah.
We're going to go drink.
Yeah. Show
party. We're not minors.
Not on campus. It's a dry campus, sir. Thanks to the Savannah College of Art and Design for all of the sweet gear that we're using today and for hosting us, as always. One more shout out to Miss Andrea Bell, who has worked very, very, very hard this week. Master the recording software and the recording equipment. I hope everybody has a fantastic week. We'll be back on Thursday with our talk with Cameron Stewart. In the meantime, we'll be everywhere in
and around comics.
Comics.
Views expressed in the interviews or by guests of the show are solely those of the individuals expressing them and may not reflect the opinions of Around Comics. Any reproduction, rebroadcast, or retransmission without the express written consent of Around Comics is strictly prohibited. All content presented in this program is the sole property of Around Comics, and this has been an Around Comics production. Copyright 2008.